The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. Critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Dan Mitchell, Brian McLean, and Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is State of the Nation. If you'd like to call in, the numbers are up there on the website, TNTRadio.live. Hello to everybody out there in the interactive live chat at the website. Visit us at the website. Find the episodes up there. Archive is readily available. The What's On Events calendar, the store, all that good stuff. If you want to pull up your socks, make sure there's some TNT socks. You can grab them over there at the store. We often have to pull up our socks because sometimes we have to pull up our boots real high. And if you have to wade through it, Lynn, you got to have some high socks and some high boots.
I got to wear high boots to wade through all of this. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you have for us?
I flagged something up earlier this week and I've been meaning to talk about it. It's not in the power politics. It's in the culture realm. So, any fans of Merle Haggard out there, this one goes out to all our rock and roll and old school country fans out there. So Merle Haggard, actually, they're setting up a bronze statue. So he's going to be honored with a bronze statue in the town of Muskogee in Oklahoma. The statue will be located at the Muskogee Civic Center, which is the venue where Merle recorded the famous song and album "Okie from Muskogee" at a live concert. And in a day and age, Lynn, when we're seeing our culture take down statues that represent history or traditional American values, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Muskogee Civic Center here for putting this bronze statue out for Merle Haggard, and I was looking at the lyrics to the song. Let me give you a couple. We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take no trips on LSD. We don't burn no draft cards down on Main Street. We like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving. We like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies in San Francisco do. I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. So I thought, well, that's pretty neat. This was written during the Vietnam era. So, and Merle has an interesting history. He's actually from California, but he had such a colored history in California, and his family had come from Muskogee to California. And I found this quote from Merle, he was on the Bob Edwards show, and he said, "I wrote it when I recently got out of the joint. I knew what it was like to lose my freedom, and I was getting really mad at these protesters. They didn't know anything more about the Vietnam War than I did. I thought about my dad, who was from Oklahoma, and how he would have felt. I felt I knew how those boys fighting in Vietnam felt." In the country music documentary series Lost Highway, he elaborated that his father passed away when he was 9. And he said, "I don't know if you've ever thought about somebody you've lost and say, I wonder what so-and-so would think about this. I was driving on Interstate 40 and I saw the sign that read 19 miles to Muskogee, while at the same time listening to the radio shows of the World of Tomorrow hosted by Garner Ted Armstrong. And Muskogee was always referred to in my childhood as back home. So I saw that sign and my whole childhood flashed before my eyes. And he thought, I wonder what my dad would think about the youthful uprising that was occurring at that time. Janis Joplin, I understood him. I got along with it. But what if he was to come alive at this moment?" And I thought, what a way to describe the kind of people in America that are still sitting in the center of the country saying, "What is going on these campuses?" And I thought, wow, that means more today than it even did then, perhaps. So Lynn, I want to call them. You want to call them? Let's call the Civic Center and see if they have anything to say.
Let's try it.
All right,
let's see
here
if
we
they
go.
Pick up. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Muskogee Civic Center, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good, you?
I'm very well. Hi, my name's Brian. I'm calling from TNT Radio. I do a show called State of the Nation there. And I heard Merle Haggard is to be honored with a bronze statue over there at the Civic Center venue where he recorded the famous song and album "Okie from Muskogee." Can I get a quick comment from you about that? I'm just curious how that's going and how the event center feels about Merle Haggard.
So John says that the Muskogee Civic Center is very, we've been working on this for a while now, and we can't wait for it to be revealed.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I was excited to read about that, and it made me go back and read the lyrics to Okie from Muskogee. And I thought it was pretty striking, you know, some of those traditional values there, talking about boots, and we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take no trips on LSD, you know, kind of comparing at the time, you know, his area to like San Francisco and stuff. So I just wanted to give you guys a shout out and see what you had to say about it. I guess things have changed a little bit probably in Oklahoma, but it's nice to see the Civic Center there supporting Merle Haggard and you know, bringing this statue up. So very pleased to hear that. Thank you for your comments.
We try to support local Muskogee's artists.
I appreciate you making the comment, and congratulations on bringing this project to fruition. Thank you very much. Hey, we got through, wow. Lynn.
You know what? I think we need a TNT field trip there and survey for ourselves. I want to point out something. You know, we love our country. And just yesterday we were reporting on, we love our country. We do not like our government, but we love our country. And remember, Brian, yesterday we were talking about, we presented that study about people are less patriotic. People are, they're worn down. They're overwhelmed. Yeah. We have to, it is our duty. We have to bring it back to them. So I think this warrants a whole field trip there, and we rally up the troops and we get it going, because people just need a little pat on the shoulder, a little encouragement, because people are really suffering. But I know they want to, you know, follow us. They want to listen to good music. They want to have a little bit of fun. Everybody's walking around so glum, and there's a lot to be glum about, but we got to bring it back. We can't let people just turn it off and walk away permanently. We have to bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Merle Haggard is also a story of American he represents the kind of person that had a really rough time coming up. He was in and out of jail over and over again. And music saved him, and culture saved him, and interest in what was going on in the country saved him. He broke out of prison 3 times and almost broke out a 4th time with a guy that ended up shooting someone and, you know, had to be executed. So, I mean, he turned his life around big time, and I think he's a great example of how you can always, you know, turn it around.
I'm agreeing with you. All right. That was very encouraging. I'm glad she picked up. I'm glad it wasn't just nobody picked up, or it went to voicemail. So we're lucky. Okay. Well, do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, fundraiser that you could do? You want some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on TNT website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Unbiased and reliable news coverage.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A group of attorneys general representing 21 states have issued a letter to 53 of the largest asset management firms in the United States, warning that they may be in breach of their legal duties to their clients if they pursue environmental, social, and governance-based ESG investment programs. Here with the story, joining us once again, TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark. Some call him Ruckus.
Some indeed, don't they? Thank you.
There's a ruckus among us. I got to say it one more time here. There is a ruckus among us. This sounds good, Ruckus.
Thanks, Asher. All right. So this letter was organized by Attorneys General Austin Knudsen from Montana, Jeff Landry from Louisiana, and Sean Reyes from Utah. They're all Republicans, obviously, by the way. I probably didn't need to point that out. The letter states that asset management firms may be ignoring their legal obligation to the fiduciary interests of their clients by pursuing ESG-based investments. The warning letter was signed by Republican attorneys general for Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. In case you're wondering why I went woohoo, I was born and raised in New Hampshire. The letter states, quote, "We are writing this open letter to asset manager industry participants to raise our concerns about the ongoing agreements between asset managers to use Americans' savings to push political goals during the upcoming proxy season, end quote. The 21 attorneys general alleged ESG scoring would violate fiduciary duties to customers and a firm's representations to consumers about their services and compliance with antitrust laws, i.e., this is what we commonly refer to in this space as if you go woke, you go broke. So this is a way to warn them, hey, you're supposed to not make your clients go broke, people, especially in the name of going woke. So I could keep going, but I think you guys get the gist. What are your thoughts?
But don't. Please don't. Please don't. Is that that list? Are we missing the states of New Jersey, New York, California, Colorado? Oh, how about all those states? Are they anywhere to be found? I just want to say that, you know, banking, they have, and I'm not a banker. I'm not an economic forecaster, any of that, full disclosure. But don't they have a duty to their, you know, board members and their stakeholders or shareholders to, you know, get this nonsense out of the banks? We got to get down to business. And I don't, this woke stuff, you know what? I'm starting to see the pendulum swing a little bit. It's starting to just dilute. And starting to leave different businesses. It's starting to leave different, even entertainment companies, complicit people, but it's leaving. They're getting rid of these people that they brought on for millions of dollars. I know right away somebody rushed. I won't say the name of an entertainment company a couple of years ago, paid them $3 million to come on as a diversity, equity, you know, one of those titles. And I see that person was let go about 3 months ago. So I say it's going away. It has seen its course. It's not working. And the American people are speaking, and they're not, you know, it's with their wallet, a lot of the American people. So next, I say next. That's what I say about this.
Yeah, it says a lot about CRT and DEI as well, because ESG is intimately tied to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as critical race theory. And
yes.
You know, the powers that should not be in the mass media cartel have shot themselves in the foot here because they've politicized these topics. The Fortune 100 has shot themselves in the foot because they have played along and tried to, you know, get credits, get money, get social credits, get virtue, get all this, you know, position themselves in what they see as the coming cultural shift. But it comes right down to what you said, Ruckus. Get woke. Go broke. You can't sit there and say, damn the fiduciary responsibilities to the board, because the board has super yachts that they need to pay for. They have stocks and bonds that they need to, you know, understand and benefit from, and they need their company to have profit. And when they see, you know, $3 million go into a ESG program or more than that in their own business, and then they see a loss in revenue, or a project a loss in revenue, and then get hit with something like this, 21 state AGs, that's almost half the country. That says a lot about how the bulk of the country feels about not only ESG, environmental, social, and governance investment programs, but the foundational pieces of the progressive argument, which are CRT and DEI.
It's that nice is very to see.
Well said, yeah.
I was going to say, it's nice to see that these AGs are putting the banks on notice. So, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm glad that somebody's doing something with the banks, yeah.
Yeah, this is a good story, Lynn. We get asked for good stories. Can we get some white pill stories here? There you go. You got some.
No, but you know, this goes to my theory, not even a theory, because I'm seeing it in practice, that the pendulum is beginning to swing in all of these different areas. And it just doesn't work. And our guest that'll be coming up, we have a great story to tell you about, again, related to all of these issues. And I think the thing is, once we get 21, we have 21 attorney generals. I mean, that's an incredible number. I'm actually shocked it's that high. I believe once we start getting numbers, you know, there's numbers, you know, power in numbers, we're going to get more people to sign on to all of this. They just have to come out of their shells a little bit and have other ones to lean on. So I think this is great news, and we should be celebrating this among all the other terrible headlines.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruckus.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Ruckus, give us
anything
give
else
us some
on that,
thoughts
Ruckus?
On this.
Yeah, what do you think, man?
No, I just wanted to bring you guys some good news for a Friday before the weekend. And you guys have a nice weekend, okay?
You too, man.
That's it, Ruckus. Have a great weekend. And thank you for all of for bringing us a good headline, because I've got pages and pages and computer notes of bad headlines. So this was really a very uplifting headline. Thanks, Ruckus. You're listening to State of the Nation, today's News Talk TNT Radio.
You should hear what Ross Cameron is talking about.
Why the result was so stark for Dominic Perrottet and the Liberals in yesterday's election.
We're in a situation now where I believe the Liberal Party certainly has an identity crisis. I think that has to be a big part of the problem. I don't think it understands what it's there for anymore. And until it works that out, it's not going to get a mandate to govern. I suppose if you try and please everybody, you're going to end up pleasing nobody. And the Liberal Party wasn't sure who it was trying to please. So in reality, I think the party actually has gone way too far to the left. I think it attempted to attack Labor on issues, particularly with relation to the economy, that were easily from its left, or from the Labor's left. You know, things like the kids super package. And on social policy, I also think that, again, the electorate's well served to the left, but the Liberal Party ran to try and persuade every person's concern that Dom Perrottet, whilst he might have been a Christian conservative, wasn't in any way a Christian conservative. I think thereby undermining his reason for being at all.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Our lines are now open. Call Brian, Lynn, and Dan now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Citizens Defending Education. Sounds great, right, everybody? Who could argue with that? Joining us now is Mary Fran Deacon from my hometown of Glen Ridge, New Jersey. And she's going to tell us an incredible story. We have incredible headlines, what happened there a couple of weeks ago with the very tiny Glen Ridge Library and books that were brought to her attention and a group of other parents and concerned citizens, and how it exploded in the media. So welcome, Mary Fran Deacon. I like to call you Fran. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for having me on today.
First, I'm going to mention the website because I want to make sure everybody goes and looks at this. CDE-glenridge.com. Now, Fran, what happened there a few weeks ago? It was a real, well, this is a family show, but you know what I'm going to say. How all these people, but Glen Ridge, New Jersey is about 13, 14 miles outside of New York City. And it was once considered a bedroom community. You know, a lot of the men when I was a child many decades ago worked in New York City and everybody was prim and proper. And what happened there last month?
Well, I'll back up a little, if you don't mind, because if you go back to the fall of 2021, the Glen Ridge schools paid $25,000 for a outside one-person agency to come in and do an equity audit of our schools and our town. And the budget in Glen Ridge, that's always the main issue at the Board of Ed. It's always the budget, but $25,000 was spent without anybody being asked or citizens knowing on this audit. The audit was conducted. There was very little participation. And yet there was a whole series of recommendations that were made to the schools and to the town on how to be more diverse, have equity and inclusion. And so a few of us were concerned about this. So we organized ourselves and we put a little group together, which is CDE Citizen Spending Education, and we went to the Board of Ed, and that was the fall of 2021. And all we did was introduce ourselves, and we put a website together. We did a mailing in Glen Ridge just to say, are you aware that this is going on? Well, anyhow, fast forward, and we were never received well from then, and then we got all the way till the next summer. And books were found in the library by a parent who came to us and asked us to look into it. And so we did. And these books were the books that in the fall of 2022, we asked the library to review. So we put in forms on these books, just a handful to represent what was in there, because there's a lot of books. And we were dismissed out of hand by the librarian. And so we wrote an appeal, and the board was supposed to hear that appeal and discuss that with us on February 8th. So that brings us up to February 8th, when that appeal was supposed to be heard. But in late January, a group formed itself in Glen Ridge and called themselves Glen Ridge United Against Book Bans. So they started spinning a narrative that the five of us were trying to ban books, and that we were trying to harm and eliminate the LGBT community in Glen Ridge, and that Glen Ridge would become an unsafe and an unwelcoming town because of these five people who are concerned about books in the library. So that is what you would be referring to. So they orchestrated an event on the night of our hearing. We were not able to go. We were not able to discuss our appeal. That was a five-page appeal. They went instead, and there was close to 800 people. Many of them were just activists from all towns around us, brought in by the activists in town. And it was nothing that it looked nothing like it should have looked. It was supposed to be a hearing, and the library was supposed to be looking at our appeal. Well, nothing was ever considered that we wrote in that appeal. And let's just say this, if I could just say this. The big story that really needs to be told. One, the truth of what is actually in these books, okay? If you open the books and you read them, the content is indefensible, right? Inappropriate, harmful, pornographic, instructions on how to find and pay for and enjoy and become addicted to pornography, how to send naked photos of yourself to one another. Everything that leads to, we know, is grooming and leads to children becoming vulnerable and often sex trafficked. Okay, well, the aim seems to be normalizing these activities, okay? And that's not only is it normalized, but it's insisted upon, at least I can say in my library, but I'm certain it's being insisted upon in all libraries in America, because the American Library Association is fueling all this. And the other story, that's the first one, the truth of what's in these books. The other one is the silencing and the maligning of people who try to bring truth to light. Okay, and that would be us. We were silenced, we were maligned, we were defamed, we were accused of being homophobic, we were racist, we're white supremacists, we received hate mail, we received threats, and the town, you know, became incredibly divided and explosive over an issue of five people asking the library. Well, there were eight of us in the beginning. There were only a handful of us left, asking them to evaluate material for appropriateness for minors. That's all we were asking. That's all we could do. Right. That's all the firm allowed us to do. And they gave us the
And it was, it was never a book ban, but the media then got involved. First of all, they bust in all kinds of people. And you were explaining to me, this was in the children's, like the young adult section, this readily available, all these books. So we have to point that out. And it was never a book ban, but the media really infiltrated. And I would consider Glen Ridge, you know, middle upper class kind of community. And the media went with the whole thing with the transphobia. And you did not attend for what reason? The hearing, because out of safety, because it was too dangerous.
Yeah, yes. And as the days approached that meeting, the emails that we were receiving through our website, that each day that organization, Glen Ridge United Against Book Bans, continued to escalate the situation. And the messages that we were getting were escalating with each day as it approached. So we had to take out surveillance for our home. We filed police reports. We would not feel safe. And not only that, that was not going to be a hearing. That was a three-ring circus. Okay, that's not a hearing. A hearing is a respectable meeting where the complainants themselves are able to have their complaint, their appeal addressed. They never once addressed the content of these books, and they never addressed the appeal that we wrote. So we haven't received due process to this day. There's been no due process around that process that they afforded us. Every resident is afforded this process to ask them to evaluate library materials. And we followed their process and we were maligned and we were silenced.
Ryan, what do you have to say about that?
It's unbelievable. You're sitting there in a nice home, beautiful decor. You got flowers and plants in the background. I do not see you as the type of person that is a racist or any sort of sympathizer or a homophobe. If you're like many people, you probably know a couple of gay people here and there. Who knows? I mean, most of us do. And it's just amazing. Even a lot of the gay people that I know, they say they don't like this stuff. They don't want to see children sexualized. They say, I don't want to be pointed out and pigeonholed into some category. I don't want to have to announce my pronoun and, you know, in relation to some transgender people. It's just amazing that the malignment I find to be one of the most egregious things, because it's actually a form of doxing, because once they insert your name into the, you know, it's like they're filling the villain blank and they insert your name or your colleagues' names that are working with you on this. That is the precursor to the doxing. And then you get the social media trolls coming at you, trying to figure out where you live, trying to publicize your address. It's quite actually dangerous. It's a terroristic criminal tactic to use against people like you. And our government is sitting here, they're having congressional hearings as we speak, almost just this week, last week, about the weaponization of the federal government. Why does no one talk about the weaponization of the media and social media? Yeah. Because those are the outlets that have put you in the crosshairs here.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, this is what happens. So they spin that false narrative. As long as they can somehow attach the pride colors to the books or whatever it is that you might be bringing some awareness to, that's the end of the conversation. Then they come out, it's a trigger, they come out en masse. What they've done is they've done exactly what critical race theory instructs them to do. They've created an oppressed class, a victim class, and they've created the oppressor. And they painted us as oppressors, and they painted the LGBT. This has nothing to do with the LGBT community. Okay, nobody's affirmed by these books. These are not gender affirming. These are not person affirming. These books are sex manuals teaching children things such as, I'll be careful what I say, but I told you about the pornography. I told you about the sexting. Teaching children how to use sex toys on themselves, where to insert them, how to insert them, how to be sure that they don't lose them, that your hungry hiney doesn't eat them up. These are for children. Wow.
You know what, Fran, hold your thought. We have to have a headline and we're going to come back and finish up. We want to know, Brian and I want to know where this stands today in my hometown and your hometown of Glen Ridge, New Jersey. This is TNT News Talk Radio.
Big news.
Big news.
Big news.
The biggest breaking news story.
Holy crap.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Former President Trump responded on social media to the news that he is to be indicted in New York City next week, calling an attack on our country and blaming radical left-wing monsters. Six U.S. troops have been diagnosed with traumatic brain injuries following suspected Iranian-backed attacks at U.S. bases in Syria last week. Turkey's parliament has unanimously approved Finland's bid to join NATO, clearing the last hurdle for the Nordic nation to officially become a fully-fledged member of the U.S.-led military bloc.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Ryan and I are talking with Mary Fran Deacon, resident of Glen Ridge, New Jersey, right outside of New York City, and we're talking about what happened in that community last month when Mary Fran and a couple of other people just were inquiring about certain books at the local public library. Let's continue. Fran, where does it stand today? Like, what's happening? Because I'm afraid for you. It's a very small community. And what's the outcome today? Nothing? Like, what's happening there?
Okay, so after that event, when the board, to great fanfare and applause, voted to keep all the books in their place, we asked them, so on the form it says, what would you like us to do with these books? Of course, we said remove them because these books have, there's no reason for these books to be in our library. And then, but when we went to those board, with those board meetings, library board meetings, we said to them many times, maybe you could just put some sort of guardrail in place so that children don't come into casual contact with the books, right? Well, that was a bridge too far. Nothing can be, the books can't be touched. They're enshrined, okay? Then the library board changed this policy that once an appeal has been written and has been addressed over a book, it's a 12-month moratorium on that book. Well, now they've changed it to 3 years. Nobody can petition the government and its agencies in Glen Ridge over books. So once we brought those appeal, and mind you, they have still not spoken to us about the appeal itself. They've never addressed the things that we brought up in the appeal. So we're just in the aftermath of that. We're working with a lawyer. There are obscenity laws that have been broken regarding these books on a state level and a local, even a town level. We have not received due process still. And we have been maligned and we have been defamed by people in Glen Ridge. So we have some legal avenues that we have lawyers that have come to us that want to help us, that we are looking at right now. In the meantime, we're just joining the larger conversation about this as I'm doing with you right now. Thank you, because this is a national conversation. But I just want to be very clear. This critical race theory teaches these things. The ALA teaches these things. The NEA, the teachers union teach, this is, they're all being taught how to deal with people like us who have common sense and say common sense dictates that these books are not good for children and that there can be something put in place to protect children from coming into contact with harmful material. Okay, that, but they're being, this is a organized response that we received, and that it comes right down from the training from the ALA, American Library Association.
So you're saying it's going on across the entire country,
absolutely.
And I feel like Fran, they would so target like a Glen Ridge, just this little tiny community, because I always believe they start bottom, like in a community, to work up. But when I saw on all the news here in New York, they were all the media was filing in with this whole story, covering this, and I saw all those crazed people with signs. I have to ask you, I mean, that was a very conservative community when I grew up. Of course, that was a long time ago, but I don't understand the parents putting lawn signs and we're for trans, and they're promoting all of this. What's going on with the parents, you think, who are promoting this? That's the only thing I can say, because I don't understand this at all. It's obviously harmful content, harmful for our children, and I don't understand why we're not sticking to reading, writing, and arithmetic when we know how the children are suffering after a pandemic with their learning loss.
Oh my gosh, with the learning loss, and yet when the kids come back to school, the top of the list agenda is DEI, right? And then pushing all of this stuff. I would say that the parents either don't know what's really going on, and most people probably keep very quiet. Look at what happened to us when we
didn't.
Yeah, and by the way, Lynn and Brian, we did nothing more than submit requests for evaluation forms at our local library. That's all we did. They say book ban. We don't have any power to ban a book. We didn't even have a power to remove the book or move it from one shelf to a higher shelf or a different section. All we had was the opportunity to submit these forms, okay? They're the ones who spin this to create fear in people. And the minute you assign this to the LGB community, then you have a free pass to silence and malign anybody. Okay, the protected class gives the people, these activists, it gives them a blank check to do whatever they want to normal common sense citizens in America.
Well, all I know is when I saw those citizens, they did not live in Glen Ridge, and they were not from Glen Ridge. These busloads of 800 plus, I heard 1,000, then I heard 800. So we don't really know. We just know hundreds filing into this community. with the usual tactics of screaming and attacking people, because that's all they know how to do. Yes. But we have truth on our side and our children, the best interest in our children. And Brian, what do you want to say about all this? Finish us up here.
Influencers and activists are always bussed in from out of state for these things. That should be such a common sense red flag for people when they're trying to understand these events, first of all. And Lynn asked you a great question about the parents. What's going on with the parents that support this? I'm curious. We're going to have to let you go pretty soon here. So if you can short answer, but what's going on with the activists, the trans and gay activist adults who likely have no kids of their own, no interest in kids, and a lust for promoting abortion as a constitutional right, which it's not, pretending that they care about the plight of young kids that may or may not be having identity crises and dysmorphias. I mean, these people are borderline violent. I mean, look what happened in Tennessee. Look what's being planned for tomorrow, April Fool's Day at the SCOTUS. You know, they're saying they're going to have a trans day of vengeance. They've got media pundits like Cenk Unger telling them that they're going to be killed by Republicans. I mean, what is with this? Is this radical? How do you categorize this?
Yeah, I don't know how you categorize that. And let me add to that, that I understand that Madonna's doing a charity concert to raise funds in Nashville for the trans community, because she fears they'll be more oppressed than they were before the shooting. Okay, so much for, and by the way, we all know that if that church, if that school had been any other kind of school, this would be a hate crime. But because it was a Christian school, okay, all the focus is right on the trans community, and they're being, so it's narratives. And again, I think that people spin narratives, and I don't think, just like they don't look in the books to look at that material, to know for themselves and to protect their own children, they don't know what those narratives, what the truth behind those narratives are. They run with narratives. And a lot of the people that came out against, you know, us as though we somehow needed to be come out against, why don't you just go to the library and write your own forms of whatever about those books? But they are parents. They've got kids, Brian. I mean, we know a lot of these people. They had kids out there, fifth graders. The principal of the school went to the next Board of Ed meeting and was talking about how proud he was for his fifth graders that showed up to talk about this. Mickey Sherrill, who is state representative of Congress, came and did a victory lap around Glen Ridge after this. I wrote her, let's talk about the books. I don't get a response.
Nothing, right? Nothing. Well, nothing. Mary Fran Deacon, we're going to be following up on this and keeping up with you about all. You always have a place here with us on TNT. The website, Citizens Defending Education, CDE-GlenRidgeEverybody.com. And we wish you luck, Fran, and we're going to follow up with you soon. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Gas station bans coming to a city near you. Is there no end to this madness?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Colorado City bans new gas stations due to, quote, obligation to tackle climate change. The town of Louisville, Colorado, enacted emergency ban on new gas stations. This follows several California cities banning new gas stations in a battle to, quote, combat climate change, unquote. So even if you own a used gas-powered cars, good luck getting your gas. They've now banned the gas-powered car new production by 2035. We have the World Bank telling automakers they're not going to fund new cars. We have corporate banks saying they're not going to give out car loans to people who buy gas-powered cars. They really don't want you mobile. Just like East Germany, where one government-approved car, the crappy East German Trabant, today's governments have only one government-approved car, the electric vehicle. Get ready for international car shortages. You will go nowhere and be happy. This is Mark Marano for the Marano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is among five people named as recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award for acting to protect democracy. President Zelensky was chosen because he has marshaled the spirit, patriotism, and untiring sacrifice of the Ukrainian people in a life-or-death fight for their country. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation said, in response, journalist Gonzalo Lira asked, "So when you shut down opposition news channels, persecute journalists critical of you, imprison your political opponents, and in some cases have them murdered, that's defending democracy?" The conversation continues with Lynn Shaw, Dan Mitchell, and Brian McLean, and State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, well, I was just informed during that last segment, Lynn, that the Trans Day of Vengeance has been canceled. Isn't that interesting? It makes me wonder, Lynn, was it canceled because of the backlash and all the media, or was it ever really a thing? It could have been conspiracy candy that was floated out there to enrage conservatives and people, you know, with common sense. And then,
well, that's what
so
I think.
Makes me wonder. Yeah.
It makes me wonder, with all of this going on, that it was never meant to be. But that's just what I think. And the good news is it's canceled. So one less, you know, thing to worry about right now.
One less April Fool's trick to deal with.
There you go. Now, what do we have going on?
We've got a special guest joining us.
I know. I can't wait. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to be joined by a senior at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. He is majoring in criminology and is planning on a career in criminal investigation. He's the current president and chapter chair of the Turning Point USA chapter and is active on campus advocating for his group's belief. His name is Andrew Frohmiller. Andrew, welcome to State of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah. Lynn, it looks like we're going to talk. I'm really curious about the landscape of college campuses. That's kind of become a sort of a pivotal thing in everything we're discussing, because if it weren't for the college campuses doing what they do, I think we wouldn't have as many salacious stories to cover.
But I want to start with Andrew, with there's a breaking headline today that George Mason University students pushed to cancel Governor Glenn Youngkin's commencement speech. Let's start with this, Andrew. What happened?
Yeah, so our school just came out stating that Governor Youngkin would be this year's commencement speaker, and a bunch of students on campus are outraged. They have been protesting this past week, having at least one or two protests a day. And having a petition going around. I believe it's just under 8,000 signatures the last time I checked. I was actually just on Fox and Friends First this past Wednesday to talk about it, as well with another peer of mine. But it's just kind of absurd that students are reacting this way. I mean, they are 100% entitled to their own opinions. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. But when you actually go up to these students and you try to have open dialogue with them, you try to ask, you know, like, why exactly do you not agree with the governor? And they just call him every name in the book. You call him a bigot, you call him a fascist, you call him a transphobe. And you ask him, well, how is he those things? And they don't give you any real reasons. They might mention that, oh, he tried to pass this bill. I'm like, okay, well, what is this bill? They have no clue about it. So it's just a bunch of students gather. They have really no clue what they're talking about. And it's just been a big fuss.
I just want to throw in there, do you think they're really all students signing and protesting this? Do we have proof they're actually all students?
Yeah, I've been asking that question.
Because I'm not trusting anything anymore. So I'm like, where? Because yeah. they bust people in, they get people, they're very well organized with this different agenda they have. So I find it very curious. So I in my mind, I'm thinking, like, I don't think they're all students at this one school.
No, definitely not. I mean, if you go through the petition, you can read some of these comments, and people openly admit that, oh, well, they're alumni, or they're not a senior yet, but they don't agree with it, or their parents, or they just live in the area. Sometimes they even say that, I'm not even in the state and I will support you guys. And so it's just the only people that should have a say in what the commencement speaker is the graduating students. If they were going to change the commencement speaker, that is the only people that should be able to, sign a petition on this. And then, of course, you go to the students that are protesting on the campus, and most of them aren't even seniors. You ask them, they're like, oh, well, I'm a freshman, I'm a sophomore. You know, they're not graduating. They said they might know somebody that's a senior. Most of the seniors that I know are either, oh, cool, the governor's coming, or, you know, they don't care. It's the governor, cool. You know, it's part of our graduation. It isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. I was at a graduation where Leon Panetta was there shaking hands with all the graduates. And I was just like, man, I could go through this guy's political history and come up with some things that I don't like, but you know what? Who cares? You know, you're lucky to be in school. I think people don't even understand that part, you know, and I saw another headline this week, Columbia Law Center and law students protest meeting with Justice Kavanaugh. So at the Columbia University, they had all these students and alums allegedly in an uproar over an Instagram post that showed the students in the Federalist Society meeting with Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh at the court. It's a cool picture, you know, and they got to go to the Supreme Court, you know, and meet one of the justices. But no, we can't have that happen at a law school. So the Empowering Women of Color group announced that it was withdrawing participation from Columbia Law School recruiting events, and Columbia's own Center for Engaged Pedagogy simply declared on their social media, WTF is wrong with you. I mean, so this is like going all the way up into the high levels of the university here and affecting people that are, you know, professors and legal scholars and people learning to be legal scholars. I mean, it's just insane.
Go ahead, Andrew. Tell us about how this campus reform, I want to throw out the website, campusreform.org. How is that? Are young people actually joining up? Are they afraid to join? What's the landscape out there?
Yeah, surprising. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise, but there are a lot of students who don't agree with what's happening on campus, but they are afraid to speak out just because of the backlash. They don't want to deal with the stress and the full-out bullying from other students. They just want to go on with their lives. They're here to get an education. They aren't here to be bombarded just because they believe a certain way. We have students like myself, or like Ken Meekins, who was on Fox and Friends with me this past Wednesday, who are part of Campus Reform. We are both leaders of our two separate organizations, and we try to create a space that students who do agree with our opinions have a space to talk about. And even people who might disagree with us, they are more than welcome to come and listen and have their own opinion there as well, so we can have a fresh sense of opinion and dialogue.
Tell us what's happening with Turning Point. Do they have events scheduled coming up? Is there sort of a strategy going forward? Because also just this past Wednesday, Virginia Commonwealth University, the Students for Life, their organization, part of the school, they were completely shut down. They couldn't even have their event because, again, there were all these horrible, disruptive protesters. They storm the event and before the event could even start. So they couldn't even, I understand it was a very wild scene, they couldn't even hold their event. So how does this, you know, for the future, what's the plan to go forward when we know all of this is happening?
Yeah, Turning Point hosts multiple events, both on the chapter level. Each chapter can bring their own speaker or have a panel, but our national level, we host massive summits throughout the year. We have our Young Women's Leadership Summit in June. We have Young Men's Summit that was just created this past year. We also have Student Action Summit and America Fest that happens throughout the summer and December.
Are they signing up? Andrew, mm-hmm. are you getting new students and stuff to sign up? Because I'm curious with this atmosphere, like what they're thinking, because we constantly need to build numbers and get more, you know, people on board. So are they reluctantly coming, not coming? You think it looks good? What does it look like?
Oh, I think it looks amazing. You can use America Good. Fest, which is a massive event that Turning Point just started in 2021. In 2021, I believe the attendee level was about 10,000. And then this past year, it bumped up to, I believe, 15 to 16,000. Same thing with the Student Action Summit. It bumped up by a few hundred, a few thousand. So we're seeing every year the organization is building, it's growing. We're having a lot of students that want to be a part of it. They want to be able to express their opinions without ridicule. And every chapter is different. You know, they have areas that they want to focus on because that's just kind of how their chapter is or their campus is. And it's all, every single chapter has a different type of connection with their university.
Well, Andrew Frohmiller, thank you for joining us today on State of the Nation. Again, campusreform.org. We wish you luck with all this. We'll be following up with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Brian, I'm curious, hearing 10,000 at an event, we know there's the appetite out there for this type of, I don't even want to say conservative. Conservative today is just being normal. It's just being, and that's another word I don't like, normal, but it's just being common sense. It's just being. So to hear all of these students now, and it's very quickly, ramping up, how they're now going in force. We saw Charlie Kirk, remember that a few weeks ago, how they broke into that campus. But it was very, you know, they hurt a police officer. They're getting very violent. And I don't know where this can all lead. Now, of course, we have Antifa and we had, Black Lives Matter and we have everything being destroyed and nothing's happening to any of those people. But kids just trying to talk about pro-life or present their point of view are getting attacked and getting, so I don't know where this can go. They're very brave to do all of this. And we've had a great show today. Look at what we've had. We had Fran in little old Glenridge, New Jersey, just questioning with a few other, parents, concerned citizens about those books that she mentioned. And what do you think?
Yeah, well, I've been concerned about our young free thinkers, one of the most rebellious things you can do in the 21st century in America is to be a bit of a traditionalist, especially in our education system as a young person. And they are targeted. And it's like free reign. We keep seeing this. I mean, look at the Tennessee experience. Look at the kid gloves that they're using to talk about the shooter, it's been concerning.
And
like go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say, go over what happened in Tennessee, because we didn't have a chance to mention that, but that was violent. I mean, I saw a video on it, just mentioned, so everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, it was really interesting, that we had this this horrible shooting. Someone breaks into a private Christian school, does a shooting in the chapel, shoots their way into a hallway, in all told, ends up killing three administrators and three children, approximately around the age of 9 years old. And the first initial reports were saying it looked like a teenage girl shooter. And then 2 hours later, it turned into a 28-year-old female who identifies as he, him. And all of a sudden, the internet exploded in both extreme sides of the dialectic, agitating everyone in the middle that's just trying to figure out what's actually happened. So, that led to a whole media campaign leading up to this Trans Day of Vengeance and photos of these people. Guys,
which is canceled.
Yeah, which
no,
got
not
canceled.
Only that, they stormed. No, they it got canceled. Good news. But they also stormed the state house. Yeah. So that was for pro gun. So it's like almost this agenda to unleash and open the door. And here we go. And we're not stopping. In the meantime, three beautiful, innocent, precious children were killed along with three wonderful, beautiful adults. And nobody is really talking about them at all. The narrative is trans, trans, trans.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and they're saying that the trans shooters manifesto will be released publicly, but not until the FBI has gone through it thoroughly. So they're going to, It's like if they actually had a legitimate one and they were interested in showing people forensic evidence and all this stuff, which they should not be doing during an active investigation. Right. This person's name should not be in the public. We shouldn't be talking about this person. They should have immediately been put down or arrested, and a legitimate investigation ensued and legitimate litigation ensued if the person survives it. But instead, we get media narrative, we get hyper politicized, dialectics to discuss. We see people acting in radical natures on both sides and playing into the anti-gun arguments, and not touching the mental health arguments at all.
What the heck is going on? And also a quick note that the current occupant of the White House, that would be Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, went to Rolling Fork, Mississippi today with the tornadoes. And I couldn't help but wonder, why didn't they ever go to East Palestine, Ohio, with the train derailment and all the chemicals? Yeah. What's going on with those people? We're going to follow up with that next week. We have a couple of stories and guests related to that. So final thoughts, Brian, what do you have for us?
Oh, I just want to thank you for listening out there. And thank you, Lynn. Thank Dan. Thank Ruckus. Thank the whole team. And everybody have a great weekend. And we'll pick it up again on Monday. And we're ready to kick some ass here on State of the Nation.